Well, thanks for the setup, Duke, of love is really simple, but it's also really complex. So that pretty much... If you didn't catch on, this is a little prayer. It's actually one of a couple of prayers that Paul offers to the Ephesians as he's writing to them. And I think, as Paul always does, he's also writing to us here and now across the ages. And it's an interesting little prayer because... his prayer is that we might have the power to understand and grasp the power of love. Now, I think I would argue love is the greatest, strongest power in the universe, the strongest force in the universe. Although I think it's easy to forget that, and we humans are good at forgetting the power of love, true love from God, divine-inspired love. Because we live in a world full of so many other things that appear more powerful than love. You know, what good is love against a tank or an airplane or a gun? What is love compared to the power of hate and violence and all those other things, those powers that seem to be at work in the world? To say the power of love is the strongest power in the universe can sound wildly naive, because too often we think of love as something kind of weak, passive perhaps. How can it stand against these other seemingly strong forces? And yet, let me just remind you and suggest why it is I would say love is the most powerful force in the universe. So let me jump back and ask a different question. Who's the most powerful being in the universe? And I hope you might at least consider God to be. I mean, God, the one who created everything. God, the one who holds everything together and keeps it going. So if God is the most powerful being in the universe, let me then also remind you, it's not, Paul doesn't say it here, but John says it a number of times in his letters, God is love. Now, one of the things I studied as a philosophy major was logic. If A is B, and A is also C, B is C. If God is the most powerful being in the whole universe, and God is also love, that certainly suggests love is also the most powerful force in the universe. Now, I think that's where Paul is heading in this passage, although he doesn't say it that way. What Paul does say is, I pray that you will have the power to grasp the width and the length and the height and the depth of love. You didn't know that love was four-dimensional, did you? Or maybe you did. But I think Paul is saying something here akin to love is the most powerful force in the universe. Because by reminding us of the dimensions of love, what Paul is really saying is love is beyond all dimensions. So let me explain. First of all, this is an interesting statement. I hope you will know the width and length and height and depth of love. And commentators through the years have tried to explain what Paul is talking about. Some have said things like, well, by the height of love, Paul means the angels. By the depths, he means the demons. And by, you know, the length and width, he means everything in between. Maybe. But here's the way I've been pondering this sentence this week. The width of love. Width is about sort of broadness, extension. How wide and broad is love? And I have heard people in the past talk about when Jesus opened his arms there on the cross. He was opening them wide to the whole of creation. How wide is God's love? Well, it's extended to all, for all. And not just all human beings, I would suggest, but all of creation, all creatures. In other words, God's love is so wide that it's limitless. There is no limit to the wideness of God's love. It is, as our hymn suggested, boundless. How about the length of love? Now, beyond the physical idea of length, when I think of length, I often think of time. You know, how long is the sermon going to be today? How long is this meeting going to be? How long is this meeting going to seem? Those are often two different answers, by the way. Not in terms of stewardship meetings, though, right? Those are going to be. But we talk about length in terms of time. How long does something last? So in terms of time, how long does love last? Well, Scripture certainly tells us again and again and again about God's love that it is never ending. It is eternal, timeless. How long is love? Forever. And I think that's one way we can also distinguish between the rather shallow way we often talk about love with true love. You know, we sometimes talk about falling in and out of love. But true love can't be fallen in and out of. It is eternal. How long is love? Limitless. Height. You can never rise so high in this world. You can never be so successful, so rich, so powerful that you don't still desire love. I don't want to give away the ending, but just watch the greatest movie ever made, Citizen Kane. That's what it's all about. And not to mention countless other movies and novels and works of art. You never rise so high that you rise above the need, the desire for love. And in terms of depths, you never can sink so low into a pit of despair or darkness or failure or whatever that God's love can't reach down and get you, even into the depths of hell itself. So what I think Paul is saying here when he says, I want you to grasp the width and the length and the height and the depth of love, what he's really saying is, I want you to understand that love has no dimensions, no limits. You can't put love in a box any more than you can put God in a box. This is how love becomes the greatest force in the whole universe. Everything else is limited. Even tanks and guns and all that will eventually rust and wear out and turn to dust. Everything in this world will pass away, but love never ends. Paul does say that when he writes to the Corinthians. So the greatest force in the world is love. And that's the power that God gives us. The end of this passage, Paul reminds us that God's power working through us, the power of love, can do things beyond what we can even imagine. How can we address the problems in this world, in this country? How do we address violence and war, immigration, poverty, division, hatred? With love. Oh, that sounds so weak. But it isn't. It's the only power that can address all our human problems. Now I'll let you begin figuring out exactly how. Or that's for another sermon, perhaps. But I am convinced more and more, here and now, today, in our world, the greatest thing we as followers of Christ can show the world is the power of love. And notice as well what Paul says, that this power of love is the fullness of God. God is full of love, and God wants to fill our world with love through us. Of course, first we have to fill ourselves with love. That's where it gets complicated and difficult. But I would suggest to you, perhaps our greatest task as followers of Christ is to fill ourselves every day with God's love so that we can go out into the world and start filling our world with love, as opposed to everything else that our world today seems to be full of. Amen.